Good morning. I'm going to read from Matthew 7, just before this story of the two foundations. Very familiar passage, Matthew 7, verse 13. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." My focus is going to be more just on verse 14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And not specifically even finding it. I guess for me, what's been in my heart lately is what I could say is staying on it. And I think everybody's heard this analogy or this example where if you're on course and you get 1 degree off, and you keep going 1 degree off, you end up all of a sudden quite a ways off the path. Has everybody heard somebody share that example before, right? And so that's what's been on my heart. I would say not just this morning, it's been really personal to me over the last little while. And a passage which I can say I'm so grateful that this passage is true and that God shared this through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 30. I'll read you a verse there. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. Isaiah 30, verse 21. This is another familiar passage where Isaiah says, the Lord says through Isaiah, I'm going to read a few verses before. Isaiah 30, verse 18. He says, "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and how blessed are those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry when he hears it. He will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher." This is the verse specifically that was in my mind. "Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, and you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold." I was thinking about this verse that says that if you turn to the right or to the left, even if it's 1 degree, that God says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And I was singing this morning, I came to the Lord when I was 22, I believe it was. I'm 40, almost 44 years old now. It's been 21 and a half years. And I look back over that time, there's probably many who maybe, though I'll just say I look back over that time. I think of a time earlier in my walk with the Lord where I became distracted, and I was pursuing something that wasn't from the Lord. And I remember distinctly looking back at that time, and God in his mercy disciplined me and helped me to see that. And so recently, maybe something similar, but you know, the danger is we're on this path, and many things are permissible things, but God has a desire for the very best for his children. And it's all of a sudden you can not even realize it, but your focus begins to just get slightly off, and you're pursuing something that might be totally permissible, but what if it isn't what the Lord's best is for you? What if it isn't his perfect plan for your life? And in his mercy, we serve such a good God. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, I believe it is. I'm just going to read this verse again. You don't have to flip there. I didn't even have this one written down, but it came to my mind. Hebrews 12, he says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? I've had this discussion with my own sons where we are talking about discipline. And they've asked some tough questions. I've been asked the question, maybe other fathers can say this, do you enjoy disciplining me? And the answer is no. I've said to them, I said, you know, I have a choice. I cannot discipline you. And if I don't discipline you, here's kind of where that direction will lead. If I just allow you to continue in this behavior, this is where I would envision it going. And you can paint a picture that's not a pretty picture. And then I just say to him, I love you too much to let you go down that path. I'm not going to do that. I will discipline you because I love you too much not to do that. So we've had those discussions, and I think, you know, we can say to the Lord, you can be frustrated perhaps in your own walk. We say, why are things so difficult? Why are things challenging? And yet we serve a God who loves us so much. More than I love my own children, he loves my children. He loves me so incredibly much, enough that he will, like David says, I don't know, somebody can share after if you see this differently. I've always looked at this verse in Psalm 23 where David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I've always looked at that with this picture of the shepherd holding out that rod, just kind of corralling the sheep when they turn to the right or to the left. I could be wrong in how you see that differently, but I've always looked at that. And I love the way in that picture, in my mind, I love the way that David says, it's a comfort. They comfort me. In the sense that one could say they keep me. They keep me from turning to the right or to the left. Or if I do turn to the right or to the left, your rod and your staff, they help guide me back. And so over the last weeks, God's word has been alive, and I'm grateful for that. And it's been incredibly personal for me of just revealing things to me as to how I have become misguided in a pursuit, a totally lawful pursuit. But God has been speaking into my heart and just showing me so many different ways and all the different things. Maybe there's an element of pride. There's an element of this or an element of that. And I was like, wow, it's been so good to see him speak that way to me. And I can say I'm so, so grateful that I serve a father who cares so very much. So recently, even in the last couple of days, this question came to my mind of how, I don't know if the question was so much, how did I get there? How could I have avoided this? How could I have seen this? And I want to share what came to my mind. And whether it's going to perfectly avoid it, but God allows something to happen. And this verse, Colossians 3, verse 15, I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. I have it here. This is going to be a familiar one. But in the Amplified, it amplifies it. And I like the way it does that. It says more than what is maybe written. It says, let the peace of Christ, and it defines the peace of Christ, it says, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. I'm going to read it again. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of the one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. When we begin to stray or we become focused on other things, you can go back to Galatians chapter 5. And this is a testimony that I have both times that I can think of and no other time, probably in a far greater way. But all of a sudden, you know what, when we look at this tree that's to be bearing fruit, it says love, joy, peace, patience, all these good fruits. And then you can look at this other tree. And this other tree, you can say, well, it's after the, it's the one who's living for the flesh. And you can almost in your mind, especially when you look at the fruits of that are listed in Galatians 5, so you can look at that. Well, you know, that's not my life. because they're pretty, some of them are fairly significant, one could say, although I don't think in the Lord's eyes he's going to say when we stand before him, well, you're okay because your sins were less significant than some of those. You know, you didn't commit adultery or those things. God doesn't judge. There's no measuring stick on how much, right? Either we're living according to the Spirit and living for him, or we're living for the flesh. And this verse for me is real, because if I look back over the last months, and you could ask my wife this, and I said to her this week, she said to me one day, she said, how's your day? And I said, I had peace. And I didn't know how much it had gone from me until all of a sudden I had it back. And I had been battling this over the summer. It was work-related. But my work has been so intense with people quitting almost, it seems, at times daily, and having to do work I haven't done for years, and trying to get it. It's like literally getting in the trenches and getting stuff done, and the intense pressure of that, and being asked to do more, all these things. And so it was easy for me to think, oh, it's just the stress and the anxiety that's coming on me is the stress of everyday life or whatever. But what God was showing me was, in the midst of all this, there was an ulterior pursuit. There was something that my heart was after in the work realm. And I was not checking that with the Lord. And what I didn't realize is, in the midst of that, my peace had been removed. In a lot of ways, I'd be anxious. I'd go through my day, and stuff that never made me anxious. And I'm walking through the exact same things now, and I can do it with peace. Like, it is so distinct to me to see what it's like when we are walking. What does it say? The inner calm of one who walks daily with him versus no calm for the one who perhaps is pursuing something that isn't the Lord's best or isn't what the Lord had. Man, the Lord has been speaking that to my heart. And I had a picture this morning, if you're wondering. It's a new mic I'm adjusting. Sorry if I'm popping at you a bit. I'm great. We have a backup generator. That backup generator turns on automatically when the power goes off. Greg and Aaron will know. We've lost power a fair amount recently. So last night I woke up in the middle of the night. I can hear this thing humming away. I get up early. I just enjoy the quiet and the calm in my house to get up early and spend some time with the Lord and just that. This morning I got up and I knew we didn't have power. So I quickly checked. We're the only one in BC that doesn't have power. I'm like, good. That means there'll be a crew on site if we're the only one in BC. And it said 6:30 is their estimate of time. 6:30 hits, and like within minutes, boom, the generator shuts off. And there's a second where the lights just flicker and you know that you've switched back onto the main power grid. And it just struck me, because all of a sudden when that generator went on, we put this generator in, and I thought, well, this is going to be really quiet. It's not quiet. It's this thing's humming away. You can hear it anywhere in the house. And it kind of robs you of that quiet of the morning. And when it turned off, I thought, man, what a picture of my life. Somebody could drive by my house at 7 o'clock right now with the power off. You'd never know the power was off. The lights are on. Everything's running. The house looks normal. But the reality is it's not normal, right? There is this humming there that if you were in your car, you'd never hear. But you drive by, the peace is gone. There's something different. It was just a picture for me this morning, and I could say that's been my life for the last number of months, and I didn't even notice it. It happened so subtly, where all of a sudden that peace is removed. And the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll just keep going with my analogy, the power of the Holy Spirit that truly is the light of life and the light of men, we can mask it. That's all I'm saying. You can mask it. People will know. A discerning brother or sister would be able to look at you and know there's something's not right. But in a glance, someone drives by in a glance, you can not know. And it seems all is normal. Or we can put on that facade that all is normal. But it challenged me, and God has been working in my heart. Just my challenge, I just this morning was like, the Lord has spoken so much to me. It's been very personal. I haven't really felt led to share it. This morning, I thought, you know what? I can share, be willing to humble myself and share a little testimony. If perhaps it might speak to one or two, could step back and say, you know what? I look at my life, and maybe that love that I had, that joy that I had, that peace that I had, that kindness, that goodness, the fruits of the Spirit, you know what? They're not there the way they once were. Maybe it's not peace. This is when I can remember years back. It was probably 12, 13 years ago. I got off track, pursued something. It was not from the Lord. It's one of those moments when the prophet comes and whispers something in your ear according to your heart's desire, and you don't check it with the Lord. You just run after it. And what happened was all of a sudden there was like literally the bad fruit. It wasn't just lack of good fruit. It was bad fruit was starting to manifest in my life. And the Lord was allowing that, that my eyes might see I'd left this narrow path that he had for me, this best path that he had for me. And so in the moment now, I can look and say, you know what, Lord, my challenge, my encouragement is just let us be sensitive. It's interesting, let us be sensitive to the fruit in our life. And just not, I've been in this place where early in my days with the Lord of being incredibly introspective. It's like you take the flashlight and you're constantly looking for something. And I said, you know what, I never gave place for the Holy Spirit to simply do its work. I didn't have to be so introspective. But if we're sitting here going, you know what, no, I have been anxious lately, really anxious, I'll say to you, that is not God's will for you. He may be allowing it the exact same way he allowed it in my life, but God's will for us is that the peace of God would reign in our hearts. Full stop. I believe that. That is his desire for us, is that we would have love, joy, peace, patience. Even with my, you know, that one I need to allow the Lord to work. I need more patience with my children. I'm sure I can continue to grow in that. But this is God's desire. That fruit of the Spirit, it is his plan for each and every one of us. And if we sit here today and say, you know what? If I were to look at Galatians 5, and I were to look at, you can look at Galatians 5 and the fruits of the flesh, and maybe you go through that and maybe you say, yeah, there's some outbursts of anger. It's okay. Okay, that's one test. But if you see that, repent. But my second test, which is maybe a little bit of a tougher test, is we go to the second set. Challenge yourself to say, is my life full of, not just is my life exclude bad fruit? What about is my life full of good fruit? And if my life is not full of good fruit, let us be willing to look inward and say, Lord, continue to change me. Show me if I perhaps have tacked off course by one degree, but now that one degree has gone on for months or a year or years, and now I'm actually a ways away from what you had for me. Then just be willing to repent. And he allows these things in his perfect wisdom. He allows tests. He allows discipline. He allows, perhaps he removes that fruit in our life. And you have this awful hum of a generator or anxiety in your life, whatever the case, you know the analogy I'm saying there. God is just desiring to get our attention and just say, I have so much better for you. And if, you know it is? What's the hymn? All for Jesus, I surrender. All my hopes, all my plans. And that's something the Lord's been dealing with me on. Just, Tim, are you willing to surrender your all? Surrender all of your hopes and plans. And man, it's been so good. And his word has been so alive, just showing me examples in the Old Testament of men, in that case, these ones that I think of were men of faith, who were willing to do just that. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. Hopefully, maybe it speaks to one or two, just to know that God is so good. He loves us. He's an incredibly loving, heavenly Father. And He desires 100% to save us from our sin. That's the starting point. He desires to save us from our sin. And so if we look at our life and we see bad fruit in our life, we see anger or bad temper or the list goes on in there. Drunkenness. All these things that are listed in Galatians 5 that are show that we're living for the flesh. He came to save us from that. But beyond that, he rose from the dead to set us free from it, but then to empower us and give us life, and that his Spirit would live in us and fill us with good fruit, and that we could live with this abiding peace and joy and that. And that comes from a life that is just walking in step with him. And if we find ourselves drifting, we're quick to humble ourselves and repent and turn. This, the two that I've been looking at is Saul and David. And I've been so gripped by the story of Saul and David. And I look at Saul, and when God basically removed the kingdom from him, obviously he didn't. We know that he didn't die right away, but he did that. I've often looked at that and thought, man, that happened quick. Like a couple things and boom, God said, I'm going to anoint somebody else. And yet I look at that and think, you know what? God knew, obviously knew Saul's heart. And you look at David, if you compare David, you'd say, well, David, look at the things that David did. And yet God bore with David and never removed. I mean, there was consequence for some of David's sin, 100%. But he didn't remove the kingdom the same way that he removed it from Saul. And I look at that and God knows the heart. And the heart of David was a heart that was so quick and willing to repent and turn. And that to me, when I look at that, I think, Lord, that's the heart I want to have. I don't want to be like Saul, who justified and was more concerned about what people thought and what the people thought. Honor me before people. He wasn't willing to humble himself. And God knew that, obviously. And that's why he maybe was quick to turn to a new king. But David had a heart that was willing to just repent. And so as we walk with the Lord, he loves us. Yes, he will discipline us. Yes, he may allow things to be removed, like that fruit that I talked about, because he loves us so much and he cares for us and he wants us to walk that narrow path and finish this race, finish it well. And so if God is working in your heart, praise God, first of all. Don't be discouraged. Give thanks and be quick to humble yourself like David and turn and repent so that he can turn and restore peace and joy and love and all the good things that he has for us.